Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bump for the weekend.
This.
Hello.
All right, you.
Who's this?
You know exactly who it is. It's me, Jose. And you're Antonio Conte.
Yeah, I am Antonio Conte.
Yeah, enjoying it? Enjoying a little back and forth, are you?
Not really. I'm not interested in your mind games.
You seem quite happy to throw me under the bus the other day. It's calling me a little man.
You are.
I'm a little man in the past, little man in the present, little man in the future. Yeah? You.
What?
You just keep this going because you're walking straight into my little plan.
I'm not doing it anymore. Like, I'm not going to continue to do it. I am absolutely not.
Antonio,
you call me a match fixer.
Look, you know why I'm doing it and I'm going to continue to do it. I need to find a way to deflect from my average results at the moment. We're not going to win a trophy this year.
That's your problem.
And you.
That's your problem, Jose.
No, Antonio, you're going to keep doing what I want you to do. You're going to continue to bite. And you know why? Because I'll bring it up.
I'll bring it up. You've got nothing on me.
You know what I've got.
No, I have no idea.
I'll bring it up.
What?
The hair transplant.
You scumbag.
Yeah, so you just carry on with what you're doing.
You scumbag. Right?
You just keep it going so I don't have to talk about our performances. That's
fine.
Bye bye. Good luck.
Good luck.
That's how it went. Geez. Do you think there must be some kind of dialogue between Antonio Conte and Mourinho outside of these press conferences? It's not like they haven't got each other's number. Still, isn't they? Just be chatting all the time.
He just can't stop himself, Jose Mourinho, can he? He just cannot let people be. Let people get on with their lives. They've all got a job to do. Tough job, actually. One of the most volatile jobs you can have in the world. You know, the likelihood of you losing your job in a season is quite likely for most managers.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So, two questions.
What?
One...
Mm.
Is Mourinho enjoying it? Two, what are your general thoughts on it? Is it a deflection?
Absolutely. But he doesn't look like he's enjoying it. He looks like he enjoys nothing at all. He looks like the most miserable man. He looks so unhappy. Like, generally an unhappy person.
I think he
may well not be, but you know, and does it? What do I think of it? I think it's an incredibly. Effective way of dislodging and upsetting other teams, other managers, because when you're angry, you don't focus properly. You know, you find it in the ring, boxers, that you'll have one boxer talking to the other, chatting to him as you're punching him in the face.
Smack, it's called.
Smack talk, yeah. And it's to throw him off focus. It's not because they want to be horrible. It's so that, you know, and the same in sledging in cricket.
In about 2 years' time, when this is all said and done, the dust has settled.
Yeah,
Antonio, I didn't mean to upset you.
I would
never say that.
He may not, but lots of people who use these tactics do. You know, Mayweather, for example, would defeat most of his opponents before he got in the ring because he'd get under their skin. Like when he fought Ricky Hatton, Hatton had lost that fight because he was so angry getting into the ring.
He was so
pent up that his game plan went out the window.
So will it work?
What are they fighting for?
Second place. I think that's what it is.
Will it work? Maybe it's worked in the past.
I think it will work.
It looks like he definitely got under his skin.
Yeah.
Conte's a very expressive, emotional manager anyway. And often tempestuous characters, you know, are easy to wind up. Chelsea haven't been the team that they were last year, and this is not going to help them in any shape or form. But I don't understand why Jose Mourinho, because what he said about the match fixing and stuff like that, you know, he was acquitted. You know, he wasn't found guilty of it. Look,
that's getting in the way of what. Do you know what I like about this is, I'm almost looking at Jose Mourinho and he's like a little devious boy.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah. Well, you did match fixing.
Yeah,
but running off. I love it.
But
it's
devious. But it's more than that. It's mind games and most. It's just psychological.
Yeah.
Battle, and you know that might sound a little bit extreme for a game of football, but that's essentially what it is. He's trying to get into his head, trying to disrupt him. But I don't know why. Again, like, they're both going to finish in the top four, probably. I don't know what.
It's to get some kind of edge, isn't it? Quickly, Craig. I know you don't like being involved, but you're a good person to talk to. Chelsea fan, Mourinho, you like Conte, you obviously like. Who's winning the mind games currently?
I don't know.
We'll find out February 24th.
Mourinho never loses. Mourinho never loses because you, in order to lose, you have to demonstrate that it's affected you.
You're by it.
And he does it. He's the master at it because he's always the first. He always lets go of the first punch.
That's true. Lots to talk about. This is One for the Weekend, the podcast that gets you geared up for the weekend's football. We're going to be talking about the biggest game of all this weekend, which is Liverpool versus Man City, and how Liverpool can stop Man City after 33 games, domestic games, yeah, without defeat. Man City in 9 months. Incredible.
They lost away. I know it's a domestic game, but everyone can add like little caveats to make a record sound better. Just say unbeaten in the league.
That does sound bad. That's exactly why I said it.
Yeah, all right.
In domestically, they haven't lost.
The game that they did lose, you know, was they played a much weakened team.
True. Very Shacked true. We're going to talk about Arsenal versus Chelsea, and more importantly, our thoughts on VAR or VAR,
right,
whatever you want to call it, today. We've got a new bit. Flav, I love a new bit.
You do.
And we've got our usual Those Were the Days and Soldiers Lost in Battle. Some good Soldiers Lost in Battle this week. Thank you for picking up your picking up with the Soldiers Lost in Battle entries. Because it was getting...
Out of the game.
It was starting to skim the barrel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so well done there. Let's get straight into the trivia. Every week we give you a bit of trivia to try and get right. And last week we asked you, name in order the top five Premier League hat-trick scorers during the Premier League era.
Yep.
In order I wanted it as well.
Yeah.
A few people... Do you know what I noticed from the people who put their answer down? And thank you for doing that in the comments on YouTube. We're also on iTunes, of course, so you can subscribe by searching Long Ball Street, probably.
Yeah.
And then you'll find us there. Leave us a review as well. Or One for the Weekend. What I noticed was most people got the first two right. So the first two, which was Shearer and then Fowler.
Right.
Which I was surprised. I thought people would forget Fowler, but most people got them. But then after that, the one where people got it wrong was Thierry Henry. I think somehow people didn't think he'd scored that many hat-tricks.
Really?
But so this is the order, this is the answer. Shearer with 11 is top, then it's Fowler with 9. Henry and Harry Kane both have 8. And Owen's got 8 as well. So that was the order. So Kelly, 845, congratulations, you were correct. So you get a shout-out. Wow. This week, this is the question. League Cup semi-finals were this week, so I thought I'd chuck in a League Cup semi-final question. Which two clubs hold the record, and let us know the answer in the comments, which two clubs hold the record for losing the most Football League Cup semi-finals?
Mm.
Flav, you know this because I showed you it yesterday.
I do.
Both of these teams have lost 7 Football League Cup semi-finals, but who are those teams? Let us know.
Are these teams bottle jobs because they've, or should they be commended for getting into that many semi-finals, or are they bottle jobs?
That's a great question, Flav.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the world that you live in.
Yeah.
Are you pleased to be there, or are you expecting more, expecting trophies?
Right.
And actually the answer is one of each, isn't it?
Yeah,
I would say. So yeah, let us know your thoughts.
There's a little clue then.
There's a little clue there, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Arsenal versus Chelsea, League Cup semi-final. 0-0 at finish, but the big talking point was VAR. VAR. VAR.
I mean, that's the biggest sort of talking point for me, the absolute horror show from the stands, fans singing for the VAR, VAR. If I ever needed more reason to hate Arsenal, that That's it.
So there was a couple of incidents where it was used.
Yeah.
One being a penalty shout at the end, and the game had carried on for 2 minutes. And then they got to a corner, so they didn't stop the flow of the game, but they then did kind of stop the flow of the game because it then took 2 minutes to get an answer on a penalty decision that had happened 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
During that time, Arsenal fans were shouting, VAR, VAR.
Right.
Why? There's been a massive reaction to that in our office.
And on the internet.
And on the internet as well. Why is that so horrific?
God.
The chanting.
Why is it? I don't know. It's like what makes you recoil? You can't. It's an inbuilt reversion, isn't it? What makes you feel sick? Where the phobias come from? It's just a part of... It's a part of what... You know, it's something you might expect to hear in an American football stadium. And because of that and the style of American chants, it doesn't lend well to the chants in Britain. It always doesn't sound quite right. And this isn't a slight on an American fans at all. It's just... It's the vernacular of the people. It's just that they're used to a different type of sport and a different type of atmosphere. So that
sort of jars in your.
It's jarring, yeah. And it's like I don't know. I can't describe it, but it doesn't. It makes me feel a bit embarrassed.
I can understand the cringe factor of being on the other side of it. You know, looking at it and hit, sort of seeing that and hearing it. One thing I would say is it's quite a natural. I can understand how they got. There.
Yeah.
Do you know
I
what I mean?
Like
it's in that world, right? What do we say? It's an obvious chance.
Why are some chants really cringeworthy and other ones aren't? It just fits into the cringeworthy chants. And not all chants at football are good. A lot of them are very bad. So you know, I don't know. It just fits in with that. You know, I'd be embarrassed if it was Spurs fans.
Yeah. Crystal Palace Brighton, that was trialled on Monday. They did VAR in that game. And it was generally that there wasn't much incident in that game, and it was quite a good trial for them.
Yep.
But this game, this Arsenal Chelsea game, maybe there's a bit more spotlight on it, and maybe that then makes there more pressure on the referee's decisions.
Yeah.
But there seemed to be a lot more instances with the referee going to it, because what I found interesting was I read this. So it only took 40 minutes of Serie A's opening game of VAR technology to be used for the first time when it was introduced at the start of the season in Italy. Mm. But since then, it has settled down and is now generally used about once in three or four matches.
Right.
According to former referee David Ellery.
Yeah.
Which kind of ruins all the good stuff that was written before that. David Ellery is a bit weird. I wonder if... So there's that one side of it is that it's not going to affect football that much, considering from what's being said there, right?
Mm.
But then the other interesting stat I saw was that a German magazine, Kicker, it said that 47% of players wanted to abolish VAR in the Bundesliga. Yeah, so the players don't really enjoy it.
I don't really care about whether the players enjoy it or not.
Are you for it?
No. I'm not, because I don't. I'm not bothered if all the decisions get are right or wrong. What I want is drama and excitement. And I go to a game. So let's go back to just what you were saying before, the Chelsea and Arsenal one, where there was a penalty claim, and you know it could have gone either way, but I didn't think it was a penalty for what it's worth. But the game went on for 2 minutes. Arsenal could have scored in that point. Do you then Arsenal score? There's the breaking play. Do you then go back and say, oh, that's a penalty, and give Arsenal or Chelsea a penalty, whatever way it was. So there's an issue with that. The other issue is, this is another sort of jink at in the armour of the match day going fan. Because in the ground, no one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
They were just watching this thing. They didn't know what it was about. It's great for fans at home. There's drama there, but you can watch it and you can see it, and you think, "All right, I understand what's happening here." But for the fans in the stadium, they're sitting there going, well, "What's going on?"
Mm.
And that detracts from your ability. And there's like waves of atmosphere in games when things are building up and you're getting involved, and then suddenly there's this break in play, and you're like, "Why?" It deflates. Deflates again. I don't think it's helpful to the emotion and the enjoyment of the game. It'll be better if actually, you know, more decisions will be correctly got. And as it turned out, you know, got all of the decisions right, I think. Apart from one penalty, anyway. Apart from the
I'm kind of for it, if I'm honest.
All right.
Because I think the intention of it is correct.
Yeah.
They want it to be fairer. They want there to be more fairness in sport. I'm all for. The problem is, and I've got a mate who was at the game yesterday. Craig was at the game yesterday, and I'll speak above him, saying that there was that kind of just huge confusion once a decision to go to VAR was made, and everyone was just sitting around, and you lose that momentum of the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah.
But they kind of so to combat that, the next stage is to allow fans to be brought into to understand what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, you could put the screens up. You could say like,
but then that leads to the next layer of problems, which is that in football you see constantly one person thinks one thing, one person thinks the other thing.
So are you for it?
I am. I'm for it, but I wonder, and I don't know the answer to this,
if
it can be put into football in a way that's going to really work. Because you have that problem of having... With rugby or with cricket, there's much more clarity in the decisions.
Mm.
And so showing on... Yeah, that's true. And so showing on a big screen is okay because there's transparency and there's less opportunity for confusion or dispute on a decision.
Yeah.
Football is so fast paced.
Yeah.
There's so many different levels and I don't think it's that clear. And so by putting it on the screen, it's going to create a new level of theatre, I guess, which, you know, people can like or dislike, which might be good, but you're still going to probably have, despite seeing it on a screen three times, you're still going to have this
subjective
outrage,
isn't it?
Of one team going no, it's not, and the other team saying yes,
and both the penalty claims, both Arsenal's penalty claims in that game were debatable.
Mm.
You know, I was in the pub with my mate, and he thought that the Maitland-Niles bomb was a penalty. I thought it was a penalty, and he thought it wasn't. So
yeah,
you know, and that was we watched a replay about five times.
Could that element of theatre, can that be enjoyed? Could that be like the game always evolves?
Yeah,
that was one thing I was thinking. I remember someone saying to me, "Your kids will never read a newspaper or drive a car because the way that the world's moving forward, there's going to be driverless cars and newspapers aren't going to buy a newspaper anymore." Mm. No, it's just the world that.
Progress.
You know, it's like when you talk to your dad and you go, "In my day, you had to get up and change the telly or whatever it is."
Yeah.
For us, I think our kids we'll say to them, "In my day, referee had to make the decision on the spot."
Yeah.
It's going to be, that is just the next stage of football.
Yeah.
And I think we're always hesitant towards it, but it's coming.
Yeah, no,
it's there. It's here.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah. I mean, this is a trial, but it's going to happen. I am like that. Like, I do react badly to change. Of something that I enjoy. Stop interfering.
Mm.
The only rule changes I think that really benefited the game and the drama and added drama was the pass back rule.
Yeah.
And changing from 2 points to 3 points was a good move. But other than that, like is the guy interfering with play, you know, the video action replay or whatever it's called. I don't think it adds to the enjoyment of watching football. And that's the most important thing. I suppose it's an entertainment, essentially. Mm. And while it's more factual and essentially, you know, factually correct, and you'll get the right winner in the end, who's most deserving of it, that doesn't make the game more enjoyable for me. Mm. And that's why I'm opposed to it. So,
that's a cracking question. Let us know in the comments. Do you see VAR leading to a more enjoyable experience as a football fan? Let us know in the comments. Right, let's move on. New bit. Any bit, Flav. So what I realised is this is one for the weekend, okay?
Yeah.
And we need
sponsored by Fanny.
Sponsored by Fanny, which we haven't spoken about. Should we do that quickly?
Well, I was just waiting for you to interrupt your flow.
So we're building the world's number one
football
community with Fan League, which is an app where you predict on 13 English football games. We do a couple of videos on the Fan League YouTube channel, so head over there and subscribe. Mm-hmm. And also join our league, the One for the Weekend League. You can do that by clicking the link in the description. Then add me as a friend, James Alcott, add Flav as well.
Add, yeah, absolutely. How did we get on this week?
I got 8 out. It was a difficult week last week.
I got 8.
FA Cup third round. It's just, it's chaos, isn't it?
Do you know we talked? You know, talked about, and one of the picks was Newport versus Leeds, and we picked that as the banana skin, didn't we?
Yeah, we got that right. And yeah. we picked Coventry Stoke as well. Yeah. I picked QPR and K Dons, which is a guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I on my podcast, I asked, "Is there anything you want us to talk about?" And someone wrote QPR's QPR getting knocked out of the FA Cup, the most recent one in brackets, the most recent one.
Yeah, yeah,
but yeah. Cheers.
Got to go, don't he? All the way?
Not for now. Not for now. I stick with him. You've got to show patience. That's what football fans don't do anymore, and I'm going to do it.
All right.
So yeah, join the join Fan League. Get involved. We got 8 out of 13 each last week, which was, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
10 or above and you make some decent money. So get involved and we can add you to the league.
How did the league do?
The league do? I haven't looked. Sorry.
All right. I thought you said down 14 places.
Oh, that's last week.
What's going on here?
Sorry, no, you're not happy with the pre-production.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure it out. We'll come back to you next week.
Okay. New bit. Here we go. I'm going to get a jingle ready for this maybe next week. Okay. It'll be on the computer, but I haven't had a chance this week. But it's a simple one, and it's called Stat Nuggets.
So what's a stat nugget?
So stat nuggets. I realise with the one for the weekend, you know, you've got your picks on the Fan League app
that
we do every week.
Yeah.
And people, they need help, okay? Yeah. They'll be going up and down the country. Right, and they'll be meeting up with mates. Go, you know, what should we do? We can go watch the football. Yeah, let's go watch the football. But they need some stuff in the back pocket, a couple of stat nuggets in case certain games
come up,
and they need some kind of knowledge
and impress the ladies as well.
Absolutely, it's a great opening line to impress a lady, possibly at a pub, possibly later on in the evening, depending on what you want to do. Mm. So I'm just going to reel off some stat nuggets for you.
Go on.
You can take those or you can leave them. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Okay, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Maybe you can, as a either a chat-up line or in a pub-based scenario, you can basically put these stats into a sentence.
Yeah.
Should we try that? Let's try that.
Go on.
Man City have been undefeated in their last 22 matches.
Right.
So how would you? You're down the pub.
All right, love.
Man City-Liverpool, perfect for this one. 4 p.m. on a Sunday. Go to that game. Just going to go. You know, these boys haven't lost in 22 matches. Wow.
I would start with, do you like football?
Oh, is this you chatting up a girl?
Oh, I thought that's what we were doing.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah. Or it's for your fellow man as well.
What was your go-to chat-up line?
Man City have been undefeated. What was my... Do you know what mine was?
Yeah.
So far. My go-to chat-up line was... It would be like, ask a question.
Yeah.
Because everyone's read this book. There was a book called... I forgot what it's called. The Game.
The Game, yeah.
The Game.
Yeah.
Right? Lads will know about this one. There's a book called The Game, and it basically gave you little like lines and stuff and ways to talk to the ladies. Because I was quite shy.
So hang on. So this is a book that was written by this guy who helped people.
A womanizer. He was.
Yeah, not nicest man.
And he struggled to get the ladies. And there was one in there which I did use. Did work quite well.
Oh my God! What was it?
It was you'd go up with your mate and go, "Can you just help us with this? Right? Would you sleep with Jesus?" And they go, what? Right, so you're at a bar, Jesus is along, he orders you a drink, it's water, you look down, turns into wine. Would you sleep with him? You would, wouldn't you? He's saying he wouldn't, and then you're in.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was my chat-up line.
Bit creepy.
Is it?
Nah, I don't know.
What was your chat-up line?
I didn't, I mean, I didn't need them. Didn't at least need them, yeah. Money maker.
You just did that, didn't you?
Yeah. I went like that. 10. 10.
Wrong way around.
Wrong way around.
0-1.
Yeah.
So Man City are undefeated in their last 22 matches. Man United are undefeated in their last 6 matches, but have only won 1 of their last 4. Yeah. Stat nugget.
Yeah.
Chelsea have won their last 7 home games. Do you know that?
Oh, I
didn't know
that.
It's there in your back pocket.
No.
Tottenham have been undefeated in their last 10 home matches.
And at Wembley.
At Wembley as well, yeah. It's Wembley hoodoo's gone, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Long gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's some good ones. If Watford comes up and you just panic, Watford, because it does happen. Those mid-table teams, you don't. There's not the same profile, is there? Watford haven't drawn a game in 7.
Yeah.
So you could easily go, no chance of a clinch in this one. Oh yeah.
I'm drawing a game in 7.
Drawing a game in 7. Watford haven't had a clean sheet in 9. So they'll be goals.
It's quite interesting about Silva though, because he's having a tough time at the moment.
He's having a wobble, yeah.
And I've been like a staunch backer of his ability. But he's got to go.
It's time to give up.
Give up. Give up football.
Yeah. And Southampton, who are playing Watford, 9 games without a win.
Yeah.
So that one's got a draw written all over. So you see how I can spin it?
Yeah.
So Watford haven't drawn 7 games, so it won't be a draw.
Yeah.
Or Southampton and Watford both struggling.
So using that information,
that's going to be a draw.
You go in the Fan League app and you think, I know.
I'm going to get my stat nuggets
out. Watford win it.
I'm going to chuck my stat nuggets on the table.
Yeah.
And let people smell them. Oh, and final one. It's 20 games since West Brom won a game in the league.
I mean, Pardew's... He's another one. Isn't he?
He's only just arrived. Can't say that.
Do everyone...
Or just give up. Start new jobs.
There's three managers that need to just give up and just let everyone be. Alan Pardew, David Moyes, and who's the other one? Mark Hughes. Just
give up.
Just go.
Enough.
Yeah, get in the pile.
Okay. So there you go.
There'll be some idiot chairman who'll give him more jobs.
Will Pardew get another job if this one completely fails?
He will, but yeah. He shouldn't. But he'll end, I mean, yeah, it'll be like he's going down the same path as McLaren. And he's like, reached heady heights. For him it was Newcastle. But for McLaren it was England. And then it's just this slow realisation that they're not good enough. And then they end up playing with you lot.
We were chatting on the podcast the other day with Craig, Stoke City fan.
Yeah.
Sorry, the other Craig. A lot of Craigs. I was saying, who are you linked with? And he was saying, we'll have Martin O'Neill. And it looks like it's going to be Martin O'Neill. Roy Keane coming back to the Premier League, which is exciting for everyone.
Roy Keane under Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill is divisive. And certainly when he gives interviews, he doesn't come across as the most... capable. You wouldn't assume he's a brilliant manager, but he has had very good success.
He's done very well.
Very well.
But when we were asking him, who else have you been linked with? And he went, Craig, he went, he didn't want to say. Yeah, who? He went, Steve McLaren.
Steve McLaren.
Because that's like the depths of. That's the horrible thing about being a football manager. Mm. You will become a joke.
Yeah.
Your image will be. And utterly tainted.
And all of these men have forgotten more about football than we know collectively.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they are a joke.
Okay. Those were the days, time. I forgot to do the jingle last week, so I've got it here, ready to go. This comes from Sad Ah. That's his name. Right. Let us know those were the days. I'm starting to compile them, so keep watching every week and we might go through your recommendations for those were the days. So first one from Sada is Wimbledon, the old crazy gang. The crazy gang.
Yeah.
Where did that name come from? I don't know.
But they were mental, weren't they? They behaved in a way that was crazy.
Yeah.
But for those that won't remember, a lot of people listening to this might never know, but Wimbledon at the time were a legitimately decent and, you know, successful in terms of their own history. You know, they won the FA Cup.
They won the FA Cup, and they came through from non.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
League, yeah. Right the way up to, so it's the equivalent of I guess if, say, Fleetwood Town, yeah, like from, you know, from being non-league,
and all that with what's about 4,000 fans, like they would at home when they ground shared with Palace for a long time, their capacities were about 4,000 in the Premier League, and even then it was. Spurs played there. I went to Selhurst Park by Wimbledon. We beat them 6-2. I don't know. But the Spurs had the free sides.
Yeah, you'd get given the big side. Yeah, GPR got given the big side.
We got given the free stands.
Oh, right.
And filled it. It was like a home game. Everywhere you looked. And then there was just like a pocket of Wimbledon fans, wow, at the end. It was bizarre.
That's mad. But, you know, they've got the record for the worst attendance in a Premier League game, which is 3,000 something. Yeah. It's Everton.
Yeah.
A midweek game. But yeah, they were known for being crazy, weren't they?
They just had a lot of characters. Vinnie Jones, Fashion You. They were also very, very physical. Like they were a team full of animals.
Mm. I generally got the idea that they were called the Crazy Gang because they were violent.
Yes.
And burned things. They seemed to, like, there's a new player. Let's burn his new suit.
Yeah. That's...
They're crazy.
Yeah, let's shit in their pillowcase.
Yeah, let's find some kind of endearing term to label this lot of violent bullies.
Yeah,
as something lovely.
The dressing room back in the day must have been a horrible, horrible place.
My lovely Ian Holloway, he had a horrible time.
Didn't
at, he went to Wimbledon,
yeah,
and was essentially bullied.
Yeah,
Wally Downs was the main guy apparently, who's. Yeah. He went on to be. He was assistant manager at a lot of different places. Brentford manager as well. And Holloway just like had to get out of there.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah, a lot of players couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was.
Those were the days. because they were bullied.
Because they were bullied.
Lovely.
Do you remember Peter Boothley?
What?
Currently being investigated for bullying and racism at Newcastle. Apparently, a nasty, nasty piece of work, according to all of the allegations. You know, he'd bully players.
Clear.
You can't do that.
Clear.
No, stop doing that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Don't you think people got told off for, like, Roy Hodgson?
Oh, yeah, but that's how Peter Beardsley sounds, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly how you say. He's doing an impression.
That's not his impression. I can only do one word, Peter Beardsley impression. Brilliant. Just stop.
No,
do one more time. Clear. What a clear.
He's spot on.
Apologies if I've offended anyone.
No, I wasn't joking.
He's got a bad haircut as well.
That.
Go on.
They had to remove Peter Beardsley. They put him in the training complex with the under-23 players because Benitez didn't want him near the first team, apparently. And,
Was he just doing, like, awful racist jokes and it was just beyond awkward? I don't know much about this.
The racism was the lesser charge in this instance because it wasn't as prevalent as the bullying.
Yeah.
But players would get called up to the first team or go away on international duty. And they would come back to the under-23 development squad and he would be going, oh, here he is, Charlie Big Bollocks, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it was just apparently a drip, assassination of your soul. That's some of the players.
I'm intrigued.
And then you look at him and you think, all of this is really strange.
Isn't he known for just being... I thought he was known for being quite a nice guy.
I don't know. I'm currently not. You know, players, apparently back in the day when he was at Newcastle, players would... The players would give him a wide berth.
What, because he was good?
No, because he used to... He used to telltale, yeah.
Yeah.
Telltale.
Anyway. Clear! All games, those were the days, all the games at 3 p.m. on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Long, long gone. Spurs fan, you'll know.
Yeah, I remember sitting there watching, just... Wait, so Telesex scores would be over two pages, and then it'd say one of two... And then it flick over, and you're just hoping to flick over that the.
But you knew
you'd get a goal.
There was that guaranteed 3 p.m. That is that bit like VR.
Not teletext. I'm talking about.
Sorry, it's 3 p.m.
Yeah,
kick
3 p.m. Yeah, it was. You had to go to.
Are you bothered about that?
Not really.
Really?
No, it doesn't matter to me if the game. I'm bothered about fixtures being moved for television and how it affects matchday going fans. But I'm not bothered that the games aren't on at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, really. That said, if you're going to a game, it's perfect time. Day off. You can have a drink if you want.
Yeah.
And you're not going to worry about it. But on, you know, Sunday afternoon, it kind of spoils it a little bit. I quite like the idea of the Friday night games. I'd like to go to the football on a Friday night.
Friday night games are good.
Are they?
12:45 games are the worst.
They are the worst. And often it's the biggest games, like Spurs-Arsenal, Spurs-Chelsea, Spurs-West Ham.
Yeah.
These will all be at 12:45, and the atmosphere sucks because no one's had a time to get socially lubricated.
Lovely. And finally, the final, those were the days from Sadar this week. Let us know yours in the comments. Is Soccer AM in the 90s, Tim Lovejoy and the team. Those were the days. This is a general, this is a kind of a blanket opinion that Soccer AM's best days were with Tim Lovejoy.
Well, he was, in my understanding, he was kind of the brainchild. He was the head of the creative. So those were the days for Soccer AM. You know, it was the go-to show. Anybody who was interested in football would be watching Soccer AM on that Saturday morning. It was 3 hours long and you just sat there and it was entertaining.
It
was very good. But like with anything, you know, you live long enough to destroy your own legacy. So...
those were the days.
Arsene Wenger.
The big game of the weekend. Let's talk about it now. Liverpool versus Man City. Very busy time for Liverpool. Coutinho has gone. £142 million to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Van Dijk has come in. Do you think, though, with those two transfers happening, before we get into the game itself and how they're going to beat Man City, do you think that Liverpool are a better side for those two transfers happening?
They are probably more balanced than they were before. But if you ask any Liverpool fan whether they would swap Van Dijk for Coutinho, I think they now they knowing Liverpool fans, they'll probably go, oh yeah, that was great. But you'd have to be mad. Coutinho in the last 2 years has been incredible. Mm. I'm not surprised really that Barcelona would be interested. That said, they did have those issues at the back and it makes sense for the balance of the side. But I don't really think the issues with... I think the issues with Liverpool's defence have been overblown somewhat. But I think the issues with Liverpool's defence isn't personnel. It was tactical from Klopp. And if we won't go into it again, but we had Statman Dave on the pod, though he is a staunch, biased Man United fan.
So biased.
He did give a good tactical breakdown of where Klopp's going wrong, so you can find that podcast if you want to. But, you know, he's... It seems like you know they don't have an issue scoring goals. They are probably the best attacking side in the league. That's why this game's so exciting.
Are they still the best attacking side in the league without Coutinho?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Well, we will find out. But you remember, Salah is incredible. Mane, and you know that's actually, I think it's like missing that number nine. Really, if they had Harry Kane, for example, they'd have been a great shot at winning the league. But
there's I see certain opinions sometimes of people going that how Firmino's the kind of he's the forgotten one in all of this, like how he's a cracking player for them and helps them play to the best of their ability, brings in other players into play. Yeah. A big reason why Salah scored so many goals. Yeah. Also, I think he created more. He got more interceptions or created more interceptions than Cahill and David Luiz last season or something like
that. Well, yeah, but because of the way they play, you can understand that. It's just a high pressure, high up.
Yeah, but it shows a strength that you don't normally look at with a striker.
Yeah.
All that said, I still think if you are a proper world class striker, it's undeniable. And with Firmino, I'm not sure he's that guy. So although it's unfair to say it, the next spot where they would probably want to improve may well be him. I'll get crucified for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I think he's an unsung hero there because he's doing work that
needs to be done
that now enables players to benefit and the team to benefit as a whole. And while, you know, he isn't like you say, he isn't that kind of world class forward, he's putting in performances that enable Liverpool to be as attackingly brilliant as they've been this year. He's a big part of that.
Yeah.
But you know, you'd think on paper, outwardly, and as much as I can tell about Liverpool without watching every minute, they know better than us. You'd think that may be an upgrade there, but we're probably being dismissive of him.
Yeah, I'd love to know that. Actually, let me know in the comments your thoughts on Firmino. Is he an unsung hero and actually a one of the key piece, or do you think there's an upgrade to be had there? The one thing, my view on the two transfers is, I think, I don't know, who makes that final call of Coutinho going or not, if it is Klopp or not, but I'd be really encouraged by that, because Coutinho wanted to go. You've got huge money for him.
Mm.
140 million, that is so much money.
100 million up front as well, apparently.
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
That's what I read.
And I think So although defensively strong, when it does go wrong for them defensively, it looks quite glaring because of the way that they play, like you're saying. And so to eradicate that, you need really talented footballers that may have the kind of have the size to deal with the physicality of different teams, but also that quality on the ball. Lovren hasn't got that for me. Klaven, same thing. Whereas Van Dijk, I think, has.
Yeah, he's a lovely footballer.
Yeah, so I think bringing him in is an improvement.
Yeah.
For when you've got those moments where it is one on one and you need someone to be.
I think the thing with Van Dijk is that he come for a lot of money, and when Klopp was asked about this, he said, "Look, it is what it is. You know, they got the player. They've spent the money. They've got the player. But you know, he's not." If you're spending £75 million on a player, they have to have a massive impact. He scored a goal on his debut against Everton. I don't think Van Dijk fixes the issues that Liverpool have defensively at this stage. I might be wrong.
I think he might.
I would have jumped at the chance to get him at Spurs.
Yeah.
I think I just love the way he plays football.
Let's get into the game itself. So, Man City unbeaten in 33 games, as I said at the start of the pod, over almost 9 months against domestic opponents. They've scored almost five times as many league goals as they've conceded and could be crowned champions in March.
It's ridiculous.
That would be impressive.
Yeah.
So how do you break them down? There's a really good article on the ESPN website. I've forgotten the guy's name and I apologise for that. But he was looking at how can you beat Man City?
Yeah.
And it's amazing that the kind of the case study of games where Man City have supposedly struggled are games which they've all pretty much won.
Mm.
I think it did win. The Huddersfield game, there's a little patch, wasn't it, when it got close,
yeah.
which was as good as it got. And that's why I think this game is so interesting.
Palace nearly nicked it by using this tactic.
True. Yeah. Exactly. So 3-5-1-1 seems to be the way to try and sort of negate them as much as possible.
Yeah.
And within that, you need what seems to have worked so far is a back three of centre backs and then basically three defensive midfielders in front of them to stop those channels where De Bruyne and Silva are able to pick up the ball and congest that midfield.
Yeah.
The next stage of it, which Huddersfield did with De Potra and Palace did with Benteke, I think, was bypassing then that congested midfield to a target man who can then hold up the ball. And that's a way of getting the ball up the pitch when you do get it and also being solid when they've got the ball.
Yeah.
One team who kind of tried to do that congested, have that congested idea was Spurs against Man City. That went horribly wrong because they used a back four and then had a midfield diamond in front. And the problem you had with that was that the fullbacks were completely exposed.
Yeah, that game, undoubtedly, Pochettino would have played back three if we had the opportunity. But we had to play Dyer and Vertonghen in that game. That's exactly what it was. We couldn't frustrate them at all. When we played a game, though, we had to try and play. We tried to match them essentially, and we got exposed as you'd expect. But he's right. I think the guy who wrote that in terms of just packing that and making the game narrow, so that that regardless of how good they are, Man City, they just don't have the space to play. It is negative. It is anti-football, if you like. It isn't pretty to watch,
yeah,
but he created this by having such a great team. It's his fault.
Yeah, your fault.
It's Guardiola's fault.
Yeah. So then when it comes to those wing backs, the teams that seem to have done a little bit better is actually they're playing full backs as wing backs instead of sort of using their attacking,
yeah, like Moses, for example.
Yeah, instead of using those attacking wingers as wing backs, and they don't really truly understand the defensive side of it, because that's really, bottom line is, that's what you're going to have to be doing. All that said, Klopp's got a good record against Guardiola. They've got a great attack, and when it's worked for Klopp, it's been when they've played 4-3-3 against Guardiola's 4-3-3 and pressed them and been attacking. And you saw Bristol City, who played 4-4-2 against them in midweek and did have a bit of a go.
Yeah.
That I think everyone was going, you can't have a go at Man City because they are going to pick you apart. But Klopp's not going to play. For Klopp to be negative will go against his general philosophy and go against what's been successful for them in the past.
I don't think he will go negative. He'll come out and match them. He knows his key strength is his attack. And that's why it's going to be an exciting game of football. There will be, if you, you know, there's going to be goals. I'm genuinely looking forward to this game of football, and as you know, that doesn't often happen.
Not
you
know, really into
I watch,
it.
I watch football, but I don't look forward to a tie like I am this. Yeah. I think it's going to be fantastic, and I think it's Man City's hardest game this year. I think this is if they're going to lose one, this is the one. If they win, then they probably will go that season unbeaten.
Because of course, the other thing is that the 5-0 earlier in the season was. You know, Mane got sent off really early doors.
Yeah.
And they went from playing for, I think they were playing 4-3-3 initially then made a change. And Salah, I think, came off quite early. And so they didn't have that out ball and got done. Mm. Was it 5-0 or 5-1? I can't remember now. The two key areas for me when reading this article and saying that you need those kind of two banks of three will be the sort of flexibility of someone like Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
You can play as a centre-back or as a right-back. And then Chamberlain again as well, who can play as a centre midfielder, who can also play as a almost as a right winger or a right wing back.
Yeah.
I think that's where the game's going to be kind of weirdly won and lost, because if those two can defensively get it right to stop Man City and make that midfield area a bit more congested, and then offer a threat once Liverpool have got the ball, then as you say, I think this is the biggest. This is the hardest test that Man City will have faced.
Absolutely, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Yeah. I mean, it's also probably my two most irritating managers in the league as well.
You hate Klopp, don't you?
I don't hate him. Obviously,
you're chatting about this before. You don't like animation.
Yeah, I don't like over animation and extreme facial expressions. They irritate me.
Is that has anything got that? Has that got anything to do with the fact that Pochettino is the opposite?
I don't know. I like Poch. If Klopp was Spurs manager, I'm sure I'd love him. But the Pep winds me up for a different level. So Klopp winds me up, but that's my problem. That's my hang-ups. Pep Guardiola is a genuinely irritating person, and everybody should be irritated by him. Do you not agree? I'll give you an example. So it's currently his thing is to give praise for other teams having a go. You know, Bristol City, they came and they played football. They're the only team to come play football. They were under the cosh. Like, that's not like everyone, how they gave it a go. They did well. They were under the cosh for 90 minutes of the game, more or less. It weren't like they were any chance. Jake, there was no point, really, that they controlled the game. So, yeah, it's like. And that thing about Redmond, talking to Redmond, you're out of line. You're out of line. That is not your player. You do not talk to him. Do not undermine his coach. You're disrespectful. That's an unacceptable behaviour, in my opinion. And the other thing is moaning about the way we play football in England.
He does love that, doesn't he?
Yeah, if you don't like it, you know what you can do. All right?
Get out of our country.
Yeah, like, look, you can't expect teams to come out and play against you because you have everything.
Is it difficult not to be on a high horse when you're Pep Guardiola?
If you're the kind of person he is, then it's difficult because that's who he is. He's fundamentally a bit. I'm going to rein myself in a little bit, but he can't help himself essentially because that's the kind of person he is. But about being humble, nah, he's not humble.
No, you know.
Nah, he's arrogant and disrespectful.
Lovely. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Soldiers lost in battle time, Flav.
Oh.
Do your ting.
Okay, so do we need to keep doing this? I'm sure they know.
Gives you a bit of time.
All right, gives you a bit of time.
Okay.
Soldiers lost in battle. Everybody has issues and things that happen in their life where football is cruelly snatched away from them. And generally, when these things happen, you miss the game of your life. Let us know your stories about when this has happened to you. James, you do your thing.
Okay. Soldiers lost in battle. Pepper won. Oh no, sorry, Pepper, 1 week ago. I've been supporting Juve for half my life, and this year, when we made it to the final of the Champions League, where we lost to Real Madrid 4-1. That doesn't make sense. But I wasn't able to watch the game because I had to go to my little sister's prize giving. And by the time we got home, the match had finished, and the first thing I saw on the TV was Gigi Buffon crying.
Ooh.
And then I saw the score. Prize giving.
How old is Pep? I'm curious to know.
I don't know. Pepper, let us know. How old are you?
Because if he's young, he's just... He could have been left at home.
He could absolutely been left at home. Disappointing. Prize giving, I mean, honestly. Right, let's go back a bit. Josh Dixon. I'm a lifelong City fan and season ticket holder. Been through the ups and downs and the good times and the bad times. It was the 12th of May, 2012. Me and my girlfriend's fourth year anniversary.
Nice work.
Congratulations. I decided to take her to my favourite curry house, Rajdoot Tandoori. Little did I know this would be the worst mistake of my life. It was a great day with amazing company and amazing food. That's lovely. Or so I thought. The next morning came and it was time. Time to go and watch the most dramatic, nervous, tense, uneasy game of football in my life. That game was the game where City scored in the 93rd and 22nd minute. That doesn't make sense. Of the final game of the season to lift the Premier League trophy. But I never made it out of the house. Instead, I spent the entire day sat on the shitter, listening to the TV from afar, with my chicken booner from the night before pouring out of my... I had missed the most special moment in my life because of that curry house. 5 years have passed. I've never been back there. And to top things off, my girlfriend at the time cheated on me with her work colleague later that year. I missed that moment all because of a shit booner and an even shitter girlfriend.
Mate, I'm so sorry. All of it.
We'll have to react to that in a sec. Hang on, last one. And finally, direct message. It was only this season. My girlfriend, not girlfriend, forced me to attend her best friend's stupid party, which was on the same day as the Sydney Derby away, a fixture between Sydney FC and the Wanderers. The whole night I was getting Snapchats from my mates, kicking on and getting completely smashed, which made me go all tomato red, and the final blow was that we, Sydney FC, won 5-0. Our biggest win against the enemy. I had this weird feeling of being happy and upset because of the win and missing out because of a shitty party. It was also the first ever Sydney Derby game that I've ever missed.
Wow. You must really love that girl.
I hope she's not cheating on you with a colleague later that year.
Yeah.
Josh Dixon. I mean...
It's... that was funny. Well written as well. You can write
it. Always dangerous to be having a curry before an important event. Mm. That's a life lesson that we'll all learn at one stage or another.
I've never had that adverse reaction to curry.
Have you not?
No.
That's because you have a korma.
It's so, you know, it's this kind of stuff. This kind of stuff. Like, his girlfriend, 4 years cheating on him with a work colleague, right? And she might not have been happy. You know, that might have been a factor.
Sure. Well, you don't.
But you don't have
Let
to,
us know.
You don't have to cheat. But she doesn't remember, or it won't be in her head. And this is the whole thing with soldiers in battle, and this is what winds me up about other people, right? Is they don't know how important this stuff is. Man City. The worlds won't align where that situation will ever happen again, where Aguero scores that in the last minute to win the league, to snatch it from Man United and keep QPR up at the same time, right?
Anyways.
He will never experience that again. And he gave it all up.
For a lousy booner.
With a woman.
A lousy woman.
Who cheated on him.
That's, do you know, the biggest learning of all of that, what? Is... Understand your priorities. Even 4 years in, it might not work out. So put football first. If they, in time, they'll earn it.
Yeah.
And once they understand how important it is, that's when you marry them.
It is. Yeah. Listen, also, there's another little bit of relationship advice for you, right? Okay. It is, if someone cares about you...
That's a good one. In the comments, any football relationship advice that you need...
Yeah. We'll give
hashtag flames advice.
Flame, is that, yeah. If they love you, whether it be your husband or your girlfriend, they would not expect you to miss the game against your biggest rival.
Well, you missed the game because of the booner, didn't he?
No, I'm now talking about the
Right,
sorry,
yeah.
Yeah. So they wouldn't expect you. They wouldn't take that from you.
Mm.
You know, it's like saying, well, it's really important to me. It's my sister's. You know, birthday, it's important you're there. I understand it's your sister's birthday.
Yeah.
But what happens when you're a football fan? It gets dismissed as just a game by your other half often.
It's not.
And it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, if any of you are in relationships, And your partner says to you, I want you to come to a party with me instead of you watching your rival, get rid of him.
Because they don't get it.
They don't get it and they don't get you.
Yeah. And the final one, I would say, with the prize giving, address that when dad's in the room. If dad's got you into football,
yeah,
just go, I can't go to prize giving.
Yeah.
Mum goes, you know, of course you're going to prize giving. I can't, mum. Dad will understand. Juve playing the Champions League final. And your dad will, he's got a difficult one here because he's so proud of you in that moment. But he's also got to respect his wife and the mother of his children.
And often scared of you.
Yeah, that's good. Very scared. But deep down, he'll make it work for you.
Do you think? I think the wife would give him a look and he'd go, I'll get your coach.
maybe. Right, that's it for another One for the Weekend podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have enjoyed it, subscribe to the Long Ball Street channel. That's where this podcast is living now. Also, join Fan League. Join our league, the One for the Weekend League. Link is in the description. Bloody good fun. You can win some money as well. And I've given you some stat nuggets, so you should be winning. Yeah, that's about it for another week.
Yeah, looking forward to the football.
Absolutely. We'll be doing another couple of videos on the Fan League channel, so head over there as we talk about Theo Walcott. And if you should go to Everton or Southampton, and giving you some of our predictions for the weekend's action. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.